I would like to read to you this morning a message which my guru sent out to his devotees many years ago. It has to do with the new year, which is upon us. The new year has come to greet you with new hopes, new determination, new will to achieve, new activities. In the temple of the new year, renew your reverence for the unlimited hidden power of God within you. The trails of trials and the yawning chasms of woe have been left behind in the dark night of the past. Now you are entering the daylight of a newborn hope for the new year. Cast off the coil of the decayed thoughts of the past years. Be reincarnated into the vital living of the new year. Every regret for shattered hopes of success must be transformed into the joy of new achievements during the new year. Old sorrows and disappointments must be buried beneath the sepulcher of the past year. Those dark bandits of discouragement must not remain any longer to steal the wealth of your desire to succeed. Every day in the new year must become an altar for the God of new living, new achievements in wisdom, and new joy. Every day in the new year must bring hope and cheer to yourself and all humanity. Take all the salvaged treasures of good experiences from the sea of past experience and use them to buy new accomplishments in the new year. In the garden of the new year, culture the seeds of well-planned new activities until they grow into fragrant flowering plants of diverse successes. Let every day in the new year become a step upward on the ladder of your self-realization. Make every day of the new year a better day than the previous one for greater effort to succeed in business, family happiness, and increasing the ever-new joy contact of God in meditation. The old year has gone, but the new year is full of treasures for you to use. Bury the bad habits of failure in the tomb of the old year and reincarnate your life energy in the vitality of the new year. May the new year spread the example and message of your renewed life and renewed power unto all creation. Our Bible chapter this morning is from St. John, chapter 8, beginning with verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. We had a wonderful service last Christmas, this last weekend. The house was packed. And it is always so on Christmas and Easter. Those are the two days alone on which people feel, most people that is, that they should and must attend church. But what a glorious thing it is to worship each day in the temple of God. To put God first above all things, above every other interest in your life. To dedicate your whole life, your heart, your mind, your soul to Him alone. It is those that never let anything stop them from coming together to worship God, to hear the Word of God, to worship at His holy feet. Those are the ones who make the real progress in life. Not the laggards, not the ones who find excuses always to stay away. Everything and everyone comes sometimes before God. It is a strange thing, really, when you stop to think about it, that they prefer death to life, that they prefer existence to really learning how to live in the truest sense of the word. Now, last Sunday, we celebrated the birth of the Christ. This is the eternal seed of spirit which is planted within every form of flesh that walks the earth. But this seed which is planted was planted in the human sense. And so man was born with a human consciousness. But he was born but for the one purpose, and that is to find the Christ within himself. You see, this whole world is Christ. It is the only begotten Son of God. Because when God and nature formed this union, this marriage, then nature representing the flesh and spirit which inhabits that form of flesh took being upon this earth, and all that you see around you is the expression of that one life, that sonhood, that sonship of God the Father and God the Mother as nature or feeling. There is no place where you can look where you do not see the Christ. But now that Christmas is gone, we forget about it again until the next year. We don't think of this as a time of beginning, but we think of it as Christmas having ended. The birth of Christ now is celebrated, and so Christmas is over. Another year is over. And we don't think that this is just but the beginning of that Christ seed, that Christ life, which is sprouted, which has been born within us. When you attain the realization of your oneness with God, when you are filled with the feeling of carrying that Christ child within yourself, and it is, as I said last Sunday, an actual physical experience which you feel within your own being, then that is only the first step. It is just like the child that is born from the mother's body. When it comes, it is a helpless babe. It must learn. In the first place, it must be fed. It must be clothed. It must be changed. It must be taken care of in every detail because it is not able to take care of itself. It is the expression of the infinite come in human form. But it must be taught how to walk, how to speak, how to live. And the tragedy of it is, in the human sense, that we teach it all of the things of the world. We teach it selfishness. We teach it to think only of the ego. Watch that you don't hurt yourself. Be sure and put your mittens or your coat on. Now, you must not step over there. All of these things you must do for the protection of your human self, which, of course, is true because in the spiritual sense, the same thing is true because we tell our children that they must always keep company with good people, that they must try to obey the laws of God, that they must treat others as they would be treated. All of these things come into being. But the beginning, the birth date of this child, which is born within you, the glorious one, the Son of God, the consciousness of who and what you really are, just begins at this birth, and then it expands and it expresses itself. And so the new year is not the end of Christmas, but it is the beginning. It is the beginning, and from there you go on, and you nurture that Christ child within yourself. And you see, you have the memory of all of the things in the human within yourself, the experiences which you have gone through as a human being in human consciousness. And these habit patterns of thought, of speech, of action are very deeply embedded in your consciousness. They are not gotten rid of easily. This is why Jesus said that a prophet is without honor in his own country, because such a one going through these experiences still, after the experiences, maintains the same form. They still eat, they still sleep, they use all of the senses, they still wear perhaps the same clothes, the same personality manifests itself, the same habit formation, but they do not realize that what has happened inside that form is totally and completely different. Because the price has been paid for that difference, that where before everything was in the ego, the human ego consciousness, Now, the divine spark has been lit, and the taper, that flame within, has to grow and spread until it becomes a conflagration, and it absorbs the whole consciousness, the whole being, the whole body, the whole life. It is not done overnight. You see, this is the mistaken idea in all of the Orthodox teachings. And it is, you can't say it is the fault of those who teach in one way. It is because their consciousness has not yet expanded to the point where they know the greater truth. They must come into that truth before they can teach it. But there has to be an expansion. And we take the Christ, as I have said many times before, up to the and through the crucifixion. Then we tell about the resurrection, and we give merely a nod to the ascension. But it is this ascension after the birth of the Christ that we speak of, because that ascension takes 3 days or 3 periods of time, the same as the descension did after the crucifixion or the death of the human ego within yourself. It is a slow process. It is a time of going through purgatory, or the purging of the soul from all the dross, from even the memory of that which was left before. Because these habit patterns that we have formed in the past are not easy to get rid of. They have been within us for incarnations. They have cut deep grooves into our consciousness. And it is very difficult to overcome them. It is spoken, the Antichrist is spoken of in the Bible. And we think of this as some being, even as we think of Jesus the Christ contained only in one form, which lived 2,000 years ago. And we think of this Antichrist as perhaps Satan incarnate that has come to tempt us away to pretend to be the Christ. But there is an Antichrist in every man. And that Antichrist is the human ego. It is that which has no substance in truth. It is totally unreal. Truth is the only reality. It is the essence of all life. It is behind all of the seeming appearances. It is your inner self, that glorious, shining, radiant self, which is God, the Spirit of God, manifesting within you. It is a strange thing how the Orthodox faith limits the Christ whom they profess to worship with all of their heart. They take just a part of his teachings, a word here, a word there, and they try to make it into a whole. They have forgotten that he is equally present everywhere, in every atom of space, in every form which walks the earth, in every blade of grass, in the stars, the sun, the moon. The whole life as we see it is the expression of the Christ consciousness. And it is only when you disassociate your mind from this limited margin that has been put upon it and expand it into the consciousness of his infinite presence everywhere that you start to get the true impact and meaning of the universal consciousness. This is not attained in a day. And in the meantime, you know, it is terrible, the things that we do. Being in the spot that I am as a teacher and a minister of God, I am constantly amazed at the things that I see before me. People come to me many times and they say very wonderful, beautiful things. They tell me how much they love God, how much they love God in me, and they profess to be holier than thou. And yet underneath there is nothing but hypocrisy. And the minute they get out of my sight, then the tongues fly. And there are many things said which would indicate that this was not exactly what was within their consciousness. This is the Antichrist that comes in and doubts not only God, but the servants of God. They pick them to pieces. And they set themselves up as shining examples, as critiques, as judges. And not only that, but they pass sentence, condemnation. It's an amusing thing because these are the ones who will look for every excuse, for every justification of doing what they want to do. Now, tonight will be New Year's Eve. And so there will be much celebrating because the old year is going out and a new year is coming in. This is in the outer sense. I wonder just what each one here is going to do and those others of the group who are not there? Will it be spent in meditation, in contemplation upon God, of trying to find this wonder and beauty, this life which is within yourself? Or will you feel that you have to go out and drink liquor, celebrate, carouse around? Which? No true yogi, I don't care who or what they claim to be in God, is a true yogi if they do not observe the covenants laid down by those who have led the way. All of us in the beginning in the human state indulge in the things of the senses. But when you put your feet on the final path toward God, when you want to go this last mile, then you cannot drink any kind of liquor. I reiterate, you cannot drink any kind of liquor. That means beer, wine, hard liquor of any kind, because it will retard your progress. This is very definite. Now, you can speak about taking medication into your body, and sometimes do. I can remember that my great master, to me, was absolutely perfect. He had all power. This is the way I saw him. I would have crawled on my hands and knees miles and days of time in order to spend just a few moments at his holy feet. To me, he was totally perfect. And then one day, somebody had, he had stepped in a hole. Somebody had dropped him, I think, when they were helping him across, and he had broken a leg. And then he was dropped after that. And the pain was tremendous. And so somebody said that one of the ministers had gone after some medication for him. I was literally shocked, said I to myself. Why does he need that, this great God man? Why does he not heal himself? And I was, for the first time in my life, filled with some doubts. And I didn't realize at that time that he, the God within him, was not the body, that it merely came in a body. This infinite living spirit, this greatest soul that I have ever met in my life. That his specialty was not in the physical, although he himself healed thousands, and I myself stand before you as a result of that, because he has healed me. He has saved my life, not once, but many times. But his specialty was in the spirit of truth. This body is merely the garment we wear, and sometimes the pressures of one who is in such a spot are so great that if those who criticize were to dare to even experience a small part of it, they would probably be dead in the morning. The reason that this one who stands can do this, and I refer to my master, is because that he has paid the price. He has gone beyond. He is carrying the burden for many. Don't think that you carry your own burdens. The master many times works out the karma for those who follow with him to God. As I have said before, he does this. He takes a part of your burden in order that there may be an empty space in which he may place the truth. I have had a bad back for 25 years. Sometimes it is so painful that you wouldn't believe it. There is scarcely a moment of my life when I am down in normal consciousness, when the pain in this body is not so great that it is almost unbearable. And yet I have learned to rise above it. And those of you who mingle with me know very little about what goes on in this body, because I have this power of God within myself to go above, to forget that I have a body. But when I'm working around down in human consciousness, then this pain is very much prevalent, even to the time point where I cry out involuntarily. The reason is that this body is my cross. This back is the cross upon which I bear much for all who follow with me to God. These are not just vain words. It's not conversation. It's been proven 100 times that I take on something in my body. I'm not even aware that some member in the group has had something wrong with them. And I find out maybe the next day or a week later, and somebody will say, "Well, Mother, have you had so-and-so, or haven't you been feeling well?" I am always feeling well. It is my body who takes care of this, because I do not identify myself with my body anymore, but only with God who dwells within my body. Criticism of the master, of the guru, is the worst thing that a devotee can do. And don't think it isn't known, because it is, because God makes all things available to everybody. If each one would clean off their own doorstep in this beginning of the new year, would realize that the birth of the Christ, which we celebrated last Sunday, was but the beginning of the religious life, of the life which they should follow in all of its wonder and beauty, then there would be a change in the consciousness. There would definitely be a change in the consciousness. Do you not know that the truth of God which is within you is the real life within you? That all of these things that you kid yourself with on the outside are merely shadows? That they destroy you? You are cheating yourself. I have absolutely no use for one who operates purely in the intellectual sense, sitting in judgment on everything and everyone, if there is no feeling of love, of compassion, of oneness with God in that one. No consideration for all that has been done to them and for them all their lives. You know, in India, it's a strange thing. They worship the guru above all else. But in the scriptures it says that you should worship your father and your mother first, because the mother gave you the privilege of birth, the privilege of life, so that you may realize who and what you really are in truth. And how many really do that? The youngsters today, so in so many cases, do nothing but give their parents a bad time. They rebel against discipline. They want to do their own thing. And they don't realize that what they are doing is self-destructive. They try to get away with this and with that and with the other thing. And the only ones that they're destroying are themselves. And this is so terrible when you think that they have within them the Christ, the glorious Christ. They have within them all power, all intelligence, all wisdom, if they would but tap that fountainhead, that source. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It doesn't say wrongness. Now you cannot disobey the laws of God and of nature and of your own real being and expect to have happiness, to have joy, to have peace. Because whatever seeds, whatever vibrations you send forth from yourself in thought, word, and deed will return to you in kind. Maybe not even from the people that you give them to. But believe me, they will return to you in some form, and you will see it face to face. And this is particularly true of someone who has attained the state of Christ consciousness. I've read it to you many times, where it tells when the ghost has been given up, which is the human ego, the ghost of the real self. And the Holy Ghost has taken place. The divine ego is resident in such a one. Anything said or done against such a one, it says that this is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, and that all manner of sins will be forgiven to man. All other sins will be given to man. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost will never be forgiven in this world or the next. It says this in the scriptures. This is not my idea. It says so. And so it behooves us to go within ourselves and examine ourselves, to be our own jury, to be our own judges, our own critiques. And when you have gone within and you have seen what is within yourself, and you have the courage to take hold of yourself and change those things, then and then alone you will see everything in a totally different light. And when you realize that God is one, but he contains within himself the many, who are you speaking against? Who are you hurting when you speak against any man or do anything against any man but against your own self? You punish yourself, because truly there is nothing but God in this whole universe. Man has made evil. Man has made crime. In this human consciousness, that evil one that sits on the throne of God telling himself he is God. This is what the human ego does. The great little I am, who doesn't even exist, except we have this idea that we are so bright. We of ourselves are nothing. It is our Father who doeth the works. And when you come to know that you of yourself are nothing, and that it is truly God within you who does everything, and when you are willing to surrender yourself completely, totally to Him, living the good life, then and then alone will you know the meaning of joy, of happiness, of fulfillment, of success. There are so many today who are very disturbed psychologically. I deal with it all the time. It's a terrific thing, and it's such a subtle thing. And they abuse themselves. They whip themselves constantly. Things aren't working out for them. They can't find love. They can't find friends. They can't find success. Why? It's because they're not willing to give up this little self and find out who and what they really are. They're not willing to give up these habit patterns that they indulge in constantly for the greater joy of communion with God. I wish I could give to each and every one of you the joy which I feel 24 hours a day within myself, regardless of seeming appearance. Even when I have this pain, I am able to rise above it. When I come before you and I speak, I am not conscious of the fact that I have a body. I say I because everyone must have a center of identity, some center from which they must communicate with those others who are their brothers and their sisters. But when I say I, and I stand before you speaking, I am identifying myself with my Father because I know that I of myself am nothing. You are all His children. You do not belong to me. There are some people who say, my people versus your people, my congregation versus your congregation. Each and every one of you are free to go or to come whenever you will. You are not my people. You are God's children, every one of you. And yet I call you my own because I am your mother and I am also your child. I teach you and yet I learn from you. You have no idea the wonder and the beauty that you have poured into my life. How each and every one of you have helped my consciousness to grow through the experiences which you have brought me, one way or another. Because when the experiences are not good which you bring to me, this is my test, and I have to rise to it. I have to be able to handle it within myself without reacting in the human sense at all. And you have helped my growth, even as perhaps God in this form has helped you a little. But I do not set myself above you. Believe me, I do, because only God is great. Only God is great. It is His name, His fame, His truth, which must be put forth across the earth as a flame. I work through a human personality. How else could it be so? But when you come to the point where you are humanly divine and divinely human, then you have really arrived, because God is both human and divine. But gradually the human conditions, the human feelings wear off, and where people could hurt you, they could insult you before, you rise above it, because they have done this to the point where you are saturated and you can take no more, and so you become impersonal. Then, for a while, perhaps you beat yourself with guilt and you think, why don't I feel this way about my children, my family, my friends? I'm not doing right. But it is they who have caused you to become this way through the things which they have forced upon you. And then sometimes they quarrel with the result. I have seen it many, many times. Things are not the same. You aren't the same to me. I don't have the same feeling from you. How could they? They've destroyed it. They have done it. I have not. And so I've come to the feeling, to the point where I have no feeling of guilt whatsoever. None. Because I have realized that every single thing that has happened to me, against me and for me, has been but for one purpose. And that is to take me to the realization of my oneness with God. To make me know that this little self who used to get hurt and kicked around and insulted through criticism doesn't exist anymore, and it never did, except in my own consciousness. when you can rise to the point where no one can hurt you no matter what they say or do to you, but you see it only as your test, perhaps, or greater still, their test, because it tells what's inside of them, not what's inside of you, then you have really arrived in the consciousness of God. You have risen above honor or dishonor. You have risen above respect or disrespect, above everything, in the sense that people can get at you, can hurt you, and you can work with them in divine love. And this love that you send forth from yourself is so far greater than anything in the human sense that you have no conception of it. Because no matter what they say in an effort to destroy you, that love remains. You are willing to give your life in service to them, to help them out of this degradation into which they have catapulted themselves. This is the truth. There is nothing that I would not do for any one of you to help you to transcend this human consciousness, this human ego. This doesn't mean that you die to the world. You do in the sense that it has no hold on you. But you rather learn to live as you have never learned before. You learn to appreciate the gifts which God has given you. And when you get one little foothold into this consciousness, these gifts grow and they multiply. And you find that being one with Him, that you can do all things if you put your consciousness to it, your energy to it. And so your abilities expand in every direction. And you have the chance for a successful life. A glorious life lived in divine love and service. But you express yourself. You don't die. You, for the first time, realize that all of your life up to this point has been that of the living dead. You're like walking zombies, you realize. And that now, for the first time, you know what life really is. You know what it means to live it and to express your real self, the wonder and the beauty, the consciousness of the Christ which is within you. And it is magnificent. Magnificent. And how we can keep ourselves from this, I don't understand. Except that, as it says in the Bible, at first you see as through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Because man can only go as fast as he can go. And that's another thing you recognize as a teacher. And you have sympathy, and you have understanding, and you have compassion. Because the consciousness can only expand as it can expand. You can't push it beyond. You can hold out the inspiration. You can hold out the incentive. You can give it everything. But until it's ready to open its petals to the light of God, the Son of God, it is helpless in it. But that is the reason the teacher comes, to change that, to hold this light before you constantly. To have patience with your lack, your inability to grasp more than you can at the moment. And you cannot turn such a one away. Because you come to that state of consciousness where no matter where you look, what form you see, there is God in all of His glory. And you see this other merely as a cloak which is being worn by the human soul, which is God Himself in human form. And the love of God within you goes forth to all of His children in such a way that you could deny them no thing. No matter how great the sinner, you want to take them in your arms because you realize that it is only love that will change the world. Not hate, not judgment, not criticism, but love. To give of yourself in full measure. You can give of things, you can give of money, and these things must and should be given so that mankind can carry on, the work of God can carry on. But when you give of yourself fully, your love, your efforts in every way, when you give that to God, then you have arrived at the state which we are all put here to realize. The oneness with God. God, nothing but God everywhere. It is my New Year wish for you that you will not forget Christmas, the birth of the Christ, but that you will water that seed of spiritual consciousness which was born within yourself deep in the dark ages and which is now ready to bear fruit. And that during this coming year, as has happened to quite a few this last year. You will come into this greater consciousness of who and what you are, that the Christ child will grow to be a strong master of God, a servant of the Lord, letting God walk before you, leading and lighting the way for you. Give of yourself, of your heart. Stop judging. Stop criticizing. Go first within yourself. Changing yourself, you will change thousands. These, I think, were some of the greatest words that my master ever said. Change yourself and you will change thousands. And I have found that as the change comes within myself, that he is broadening the outlook. More and more people are coming and I'm contacting more and more all the time. I feel the growth, the change within myself. I am not perfect in the human sense. I do many things, perhaps. But in the Spirit of God, that perfection is growing every day of my life. And I would not have it differently, because every single moment of my life, I look within myself to see if there isn't some little thing that I can do to make myself a greater servant of God. Because I am so totally surrendered to him that, as I said, he is my beloved. He is the bridegroom. He is the one to whom I am married now. My marriage is with him and I love it. I have not ceased to live, but rather I have learned to live in the fullness of God. And I wish this for you, each and every one of you, that during this coming year, that you may find within yourself the growth of this Christ child. And this growth may take place in such a wondrous fashion that you may become, each and every one of you, masters under God, serving him with all of your hearts, your minds, and your souls, in whatever field he has placed you. Now let us pray to him. Oh, Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of
thy glorious presence
in
every part of my being.
My heart is bursting with my love for thee.
I kneel in adoration at thy feet
and
surrender myself to thee.
I
feel the power of thy perfection.
I feel the power of thy perfection.
Searching in every cell of my body.
Searching in every cell of my body.
My mind and my intelligence.
My mind and my intelligence.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
Are radiant with thy healing light.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss.
Of my communion with thee.
Of my communion with thee.
I and my Father are one.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
Blessed Spirit, I am he.
O Heavenly Father.
O Heavenly Father.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my eyes that I may see thy face.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my ears that I may hear thy footsteps everywhere.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of thy love.
O Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father,
may thy love shine forever.
May thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own.
And bring them to thee.
And bring them to thee.